Please help me welcome our speaker tonight, Mallory from Philadelphia.
I am Mallory. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Mallory.
I'm from Philadelphia. Our home group, my home group, meets Monday night at 7:30. It's for Fish and Community Church Group. If it's your home group here, I guess I won't see you. But I'm from Philadelphia. I'm born and raised. I guess I'll start telling you by, you know, what it was like and what it's like now. When I was 3 months old, my mom left my dad. He was a really bad alcoholic and got drunk on the side, like trying to kill us would be a good thing. So she left him. And I was spoiled, like, from, you know, the time she left me until I'm still spoiled. She was a single mom and she needed someone to watch me, so she hired a Colombian woman to watch me and told her not to feed me or let me play or do anything unless I asked for it in Spanish. And, my mom wanted me to learn Spanish, and that was like her way of getting me to learn. And I thought my mom just didn't want me to eat. I would come home and I was like 2 or 3, and I would come home, my mom would be like, "What do you want for dinner?" And I would refuse to tell her in English. Like, I wouldn't talk to her. I thought she was trying to, like, starve me and make me not have any fun. And, this is just, like, the way I thought. 2 years old, I'm like, my mom doesn't want me to eat. She doesn't want me to have fun, so I'm not talking to her in English. And, my friends would want to play a house, and I'd be like, if you're not talking in Spanish and I'm not playing with you, like, it totally backfired. And, I remember, like, being really little and feeling very uncomfortable, like, even around my family. Like, I felt like I was in a bubble, and they were all together, and they were having fun, and then there was, like, me off to the side. And, it was, like, Thanksgiving. I was 5, and my family's all over, and I'm too shy, and they're like, "How's ballet class?" And, you know, I couldn't even answer. Like, I was just so afraid of, like, what they thought of me. And, I was their blood, like, their family. So my mom, she's busy, like, cooking Thanksgiving dinner, and she had eggnog with, like, brandy or whatever you put in eggnog, and I remember, like, sneaking it, and all of a sudden, like, feeling comfortable and, like, taking out my ballet shoes and being like, "You want to know how ballet is? Here, I'll show you," and, like, dancing for my family and, like, just opening up to them and not feeling different. And, that was my earliest experience with alcohol. So, we sat down the Thanksgiving dinner, it was so nice, my mom worked really hard, and I projectile vomited all over Thanksgiving dinner. 5 years old, I went to the hospital with alcohol poisoning, and the doctor, didn't know what to do, and my mom's like, "I love her, this is an accident," and I'm like, "She doesn't love me," like, belligerent at 5 years old. And, they finally believed my mom, and, and drink for a while after that. I remember she kept an eye on me. But I remember after drinking that brandy, and I didn't know what was in it, but I remember I felt better, and I felt like I could talk to my family. And I got into kindergarten and, had to start socializing with other kids my age, and I didn't know what to do. Like, I didn't know what to say. I would just go off on my own and play by myself instead of trying to make friends. And they were like, "Your daughter is smart, but she doesn't play well with others. She's not very friendly." I remember, like, third grade, I went to a new school. It was a Catholic school, because the schools in Philly are big. And this girl invited everyone to her birthday party, like, even the kid that was, like, picking his nose and peeing his pants in third grade. But didn't invite me, and I was like, "Why doesn't anyone like me?" Like, in third grade, I was like, "I am so different from everyone." And so I started, like, getting these ideas, like, "Well, this kid has glasses, so if I go fail my eye exam, I'll get glasses, and then I'll make friends." I tried to make myself, like, fake braces, because I thought that's what you needed in order to have friends, with braces, and it was, like, perfectly logical. In my mind, and, like, nothing worked. Like, I couldn't talk to these kids, and they all just thought it was, like, really weird. They would call me, like, Wednesday Adams, and, all these, like, memes or, like, sing songs, like, "I'm Mallory, I have no friends," and, like, it was like that until like sixth grade. Like I would bake six so I could go home because I was sitting by myself at lunch, sitting by myself in the schoolyard. Like every day I would, you know, have some kind of ailment just so I could go home. You know, like when I was in first grade, I didn't want to go to school so bad that I hid behind a bush from the bus, and my mom's on her way to work and saw me sitting outside, like cutting school first grade because I was just so afraid of the kids. You know, I got to sixth grade and I met these girls who were like the bad girls of sixth grade, and they invited me to go to a sleepover, and they sat in the basement and they drank wine coolers. And you know, my mom always told me, like, your dad is a bad alcoholic. You're going to be an alcoholic. Like, stay away from alcohol. Don't drink. Like, whatever you do, just don't drink. And these girls are drinking. And, like, with my mom's voice in the back of my head, I was like, yeah, okay, I'll drink a wine cooler. And it was great. I had, like, fun. And these girls seemed to like me. And, you know, we would go to school dances and get kicked out. And we thought we were just, like, the coolest girls ever. So, you know, like sixth and seventh grade, it was great. I had friends, I could talk to people. You know, I went to school dances, and like eighth grade boys danced with me, and they had beer out in the bushes, and like, it was great. And I was going in eighth grade, and my mom was like, we're moving you to Springfield, Illinois, which, going from Philadelphia to Springfield, Illinois, is like, you know, big city to, you go 4 miles, either way, you're in a cornfield. My aunt and my uncle moved out, and like, they were moving out there with us, and my uncle got in like this awful accident with all our stuff in the truck, and everything was destroyed, and you know, he almost died, and I, instead of, you know, being concerned about him and like, everything, I would just be like, oh, I need this. All my stuff got destroyed, and used his accident to get, like, whatever I wanted. Oh, well, I used to have that bed, remember, and it got destroyed. And just using whatever I could to my advantage. So I get to Illinois, and I get put in a grade school where it's, like, two classrooms for each grade, so it's really small. Everyone had blonde hair, blue eyes, and I had black hair and brown eyes, and they were like, what? Why is your hair so dark? Are you goth? And I'm like, this is how it grows. Like, you're goth. And so I would try to like dye my hair black, but I had like orange hair, and just because I didn't want them to think I was goth. Like, it was such a foreign concept to them that someone didn't have blonde hair. And I met the girls that were like the popular girls, so I thought they were going to be like the girls I knew, and you know, drink on the weekends, and they're like, yeah, we're having a sleepover. And I get there and they're like, we're going to watch Mary-Kate and Ashley movies. And I was like, oh, my favorite, being sarcastic. They didn't get sarcasm. And they're like, ours too. I was like, that boy is really cute. Oh, you know, we're waiting. We don't kiss boys. We're too young. We're in eighth grade. Okay. So it was like bizarre world to me. It was really bad. Eighth grade. My mom, my aunt, my uncle, we all lived in this like really big house, and my mom was an artist, and she would be going to New York to do like galleries and stuff. So she was gone a lot of the time, and I was just with my aunt. My aunt kind of felt bad that like my mom was gone, so she let me get away with like murder. And none of these kids were drinking. Like, I graduated, I was like, I don't care about any of you people. Like, I knew you for a year, and you called me goth. Like, I don't care. And it was just like absolutely miserable again. Felt like I kind of fit in. Felt like they were all talking about me, which a lot of them were. But like, just like, if someone laughed, I was like, oh my God, they're laughing about me again. And so eighth grade, I felt like doing the fake suicide thing would get me attention, get me back to Philly, do something to make me feel better, and it didn't. My mom came home and she's like, you know, what's going to make you happy? And I would be like, a dog, or this, or that, or like a new purse. And you know, just anything to feel better. So I graduated from 8th grade, and I went into 9th grade. And by the time I got to 9th grade, I had, like, this weird obsession with wanting to be Janis Joplin. I dressed like her, I read like every biography on her, I listened to her CDs over and over again. I even told my mom, like, I thought I was Janis Joplin in a past life, and my mom was the type of person that was like, yeah, you might have been. Like, you know, so like, I really, really wanted to be like her. And I knew that she joined SoHo and Shot Ireland, and I met a senior that, you know, had both of those things for me, and I was, like, ecstatic. Like, I was Janis Joplin without the voice, and, you know, 9th grade went well. I was friends with older kids who drank, and, you know, I wouldn't show up to class or, like, even remember anything. My mom really had, like, no idea what was going on because she was in, like, New York, and my aunt wouldn't tell her because my aunt was like, okay, Mallory, like, don't do this. This is bad. We're not going to tell your mom, but don't do it again. And I would do it again, and she would just say, we're not going to tell your mom. You know, and I loved 9th grade. Like, I fit in again. I had friends, and I felt cool, and, like, all those girls made fun of me in 8th grade. I was like, ha, I'm hanging out with seniors. Like, have fun. Like, it was just great, and, you know, I'm getting excited to go into 10th grade, and my mom's like, we're moving you back to Philly, and not only are we moving you back to Philly, but we're putting you in an all-girls Catholic high school, and, you know, I got to high school for the first day in a brown jumper. I looked like a Girl Scout, and, you know, again, all the girls had, like, long hair, and they were kind of, like, sassy and, like, listen to rap music, and I, you know, we had a dress down day, and I showed up in, like, my hippie clothes, and they were like, are you homeless? Like, so, like, I really felt out of place again. I was like, no, I'm not homeless. Like, this is how I dress. This is cool. And they were like, no, it's really not. Like, you smell. And I was like, I said that truly. Like, like, you guys are wrong. Like, you know, and I felt different again and had no friends, like, because they thought I was homeless. And I really didn't want to be friends with them. So, you know, like, 10th grade, I got, like, really depressed. I was, you know, I just felt like I had no friends and I had no, and, like, the world was against me. And, you know, the doctor, like, my mom's from the doctor, and, like, she needs electric shock therapy. Like, that is going to make her happy. Which is, like, where they shock your brain, and you're supposed to feel better. They usually don't do it for people anymore. Kind of, like, went out in the 60s or 70s. But, they do it in certain cases, and they thought I was one of those certain cases. So, you know, every other day for a couple months, like, they would shock my brain, and I would have, like, no recollection of that day, and go home and sleep and not show up for school. And so then the girls in high school not only thought I was homeless, but they thought I was, like, crazy homeless, because, you know, rumors get spread, and they're like, did you hear that? I heard she's crazy. And, like, did you hear how she gets to the hospital? They shock her brain. And, like, and it didn't work. Like, shock therapy didn't cure alcoholism. and the only thing I got from that was, like, I really loved anesthesia, and I remember trying to stay awake as long as I could because like, that was the only, like, positive I remember. you know, I get into my junior year, and I'm not getting the shock therapy anymore, but I find, like, a couple girls that like to go to college and like to get drunk and do all the things that I liked to do. So, like, I felt good again, and I felt like I had fun again, and, like, high school was fun again. You know, my senior year, I graduated. I was in school 28 days, and I graduated, and I got a scholarship to a university. And, you know, I got to school and I got to college, and I was still living with my mom, and she was like, you know, if you come home drunk one more time, like, I'm taking all the furniture out of your room. And I was like, all right. And I came home drunk, and there was, like, a dust bunny in my room. And she's like, I wasn't kidding. Like, you need to stop drinking. And, you know, I decided to eat the answer to that was, okay, I don't need my furniture. I'll just move out. I moved down to Park Street, which is like a big party street in Philly, and I got a job bartending, and life was good. I ended up having to leave school because I couldn't show up when I did. Like, I remember the girl sitting next to me and said, you smell like gin. Like, it's Thursday morning. And, you know, that's how it went for a really long time. And it got to the point where, like, you know, I was in the hospital and every other day, like, would just wake up and leave and be like, all right, time to get drunk again. You know, my mom was like, I can't help you anymore. I can't talk to you. Don't show up at my house. She was like, you need help. And finally, you know, I went to a detox. I went to a AFAOS. And the first AA meeting I ever went to was women with mullets and unicorn sweatshirts. And they were like, hold on to your chair, honey. And I was like, if this is AA, I want to go to the top. I tried walking from the halfway house back to Philly, and my mom caught me. The next day, I went to another meeting, and I met a boy, and AA was great. And I remember, like, my friend in AA being like, look, Mallory, you need to find God, or, like, you're not going to stay sober. And I'd be like, I don't need God. I have a boyfriend. We go out to dinner every night. Like, this is all I need right here. And I believe it. Like, that's what AA was to me. Like, he was on his third step, so I had to quicken, like, hurry up and finish my fourth step because, like, it was a race to see who was, like, the better one in AA. And, you know, I dropped a girl off that I was sponsoring, and I thought that since I was sponsoring her, like, I could drink successfully because I was still helping people. And it didn't work out. So, you know, I start drinking again, and it gets worse and worse. And I got a DUI, and I went to jail. And I had Versace glasses, and my cellmate was this humongous woman that, like, if you had your eyes closed, you would not know she was a woman by the sound of her voice. And she likes my glasses, and she's like, I'm gonna kill you for your Versace's. I don't read so well. And I was like, obviously, they're Versace's. And she did not take that long. She starts rolling up the sheet like she wants to choke me. And I was like, I am never going to jail again. Like, I'm never drinking again. I'm never going to jail again. I'm gonna get out of here, and everything's gonna be good. And I got out of jail. I'm like, bye, never see you again. And 2 weeks later, I was back. And I just couldn't stop drinking. So, you know, by this time, my family's, like, really not wanting to talk to me. I'm, like, stealing their car, and they're trying to help me. I'm stealing their jewelry, and they were like, we're going to send you to Florida, to a halfway house in Florida, and I ended up getting arrested again. They're like, oh, we're not sending you to Florida because you went to jail again. And, you know, so I ended up in, like, a motel with a girl named Bunny. You know, my mom calls me and she's like, we can't get our money back from Florida, so we are going to send you to Florida. And I was so afraid of what Bunny was going to think that I was like, look, I'm only going to Florida for a day. Like, don't give up my motel room bed. I swear I'll be back. Because I didn't want her to be mad at me when, like, she found that I was leaving for Florida. So I'm like, look, Bunny, like, I'll be back in one day. And I went down to Florida and, you know, moved into the halfway house and kind of did the same thing. I got the dog and the boyfriend and the apartment, and everything looked good on the outside, and I was insane on the inside. And I ended up getting the car and going to Miami, two random guys that I didn't know. And the first night was fun. I partied with, like, a rapper, Rick Ross. And the second night, they're like, we're going to take you home, but we're stopping at a friend's house. And I'm sitting on this couch talking to this girl, and I'm like, where'd those guys go? And this guy named Superb came out, and he's like, my name's Superb, I'm going to be your daddy. And they dropped me off at a pimp's house, and he's like, you can't drink, you can't do nothing. And I was like, whoa. Like, not concerned of being at a pimp's house, but I was like, I can't drink? Like, what are you talking about? Like, this is not going to work. And, you know, the first night they were like, go to South Beach, and I ran away into a bar. And I got, you know, really drunk and ended up in, like, the worst part of Miami that I could be in, leaning against the wall. And then some guy that later told my boyfriend, who's on his way to get the lead, stopped, and he asked me if I needed help. And he took me upstairs, and he was telling me about his son, and he's like, let's try to get you home to Delray. And I was like, you're a rapist, so, like, don't touch me. Like, just being the worst person I could possibly be to him. And he got home with my boyfriend and told him he was dropping me off at the train to Florida. You know, didn't know me. He was just like an angel that showed up. And he gave me sneakers because I had really high heels. And he took the bus with me and put me on a train and got me home safely, just out of nowhere. So I get back to Delray, and I think, like, my boyfriend's picking me up from the try around. I think he's going to be like, let's go to lunch and go home. And it wasn't like that. Him and a friend of ours put me in a detox. You know, I got out of the detox, and I had, like, nothing. Like, no phone, no clues, except for the clothes that Superb gave me. Nowhere to live. My mom was like, well, at least it's warm on the beach, and you can sleep there. Like, I was absolutely hopeless, and, you know, like, the idea of asking God for help, which, you know, I never thought of to do when I had, like, the boyfriend and was going out on dates and stuff. I did, and, you know, I was just like, I have no idea what to do. Like, someone help me. And things started happening. Like, a woman let me into her halfway house, knowing that I had no money and no job, and I got a job, and, you know, I got a sponsor, and I went through the steps, and, you know, did what she told me to do. And she was kind of mean. She'd be like, call me at 9:01, and if I called her at, like, 9 o'clock or 9:02, she'd be like, too early, too late. Like, but she took me through the steps right out of the book, and that's really all that matters. And I started to get happy again, and I could go into a room, and, like, if people were laughing, I knew that, like, they weren't laughing at me, or, like, if someone was whispering, I was, like, trying to hear what they were whispering because I thought it was, like, about me. And I felt content. And, you know, like, during that time, you know, my mom came out to visit me a couple times, and was like, you're not the same person. And, like, they trusted to, like, leave their purses around me and their jewelry around me. And, you know, things started going really well. I ended up getting pregnant, and called my mom and was like, I'm pregnant, gotta go, bye. And, you know, she called me back, and she was like, well, you know, if you and your boyfriend want to move in with us in Philly so you can save money, then just let me know. And my mom, you know, she didn't want me in her house or, like, trust leaving a car alone or, like, even know where her car keys were. Because it's like, I knew that they were in the house. Like, I was taking her car. And she offered to let, like, me and my boyfriend that she met, like, twice to move in with her. And, like, she only saw me twice between, like, the 2 years that I was in Florida. Like, and I guess she saw a change in me. So we just packed up and we moved to Philly, and, you know, we got up here, and, like, it was summertime, and I was hot, and I was pregnant, and I was absolutely miserable, and people were like, show up to AA, like, start helping people, and I was like, I'm pregnant, like, no, I'm going to lie here next to the air conditioner, and I was a mess. Like, I was, you know, I blame most of it on being pregnant, but I would, like, tell my boyfriend, like, go back to Florida, I hate you, and, like, just hated the world. Didn't show up to AA. I got, you know, started feeling, like, discontent again. And I had, like, two options. Like, I could either, you know, go and drink, or I could go through the sex gang start trying to help all the gangs, you know, all the things that they tell us to do in AA. I got a different sponsor. We have a sponsor, and started going through the steps again. And my mind kind of quieted. And I still yell at my boyfriend sometimes. I don't tell him to the forehead, and I hate him. But things started getting better again. And today, I live with my mom and her boyfriend. And my daughter and my boyfriend in a small row room, which, my daughter's bedroom used to be my mom's shoe closet, but we made it into a bedroom. And, my mom's boyfriend, or her husband, was in AA, so, we'll get in fights and she'll come back to me and she'll, make an amends to me and be I was selfish and, very weird. But it's awesome because I'm he's got her in line, and I have a daughter, and I never wanted kids because I was that is someone that I'm gonna have to take care of besides myself, and I can't buy stuff to me if I have a kid, and I have a daughter, and I wake up every morning, and she's in her crib, and she laughs, and she smiles, and she's, so happy to see me, and all I do really is, feed her and play with her, and she's, thrilled with me, and, it's funny, she got baptized a couple weekends ago, and, her godfather, bought her a silver spoon, and it's, a tradition if you feed the baby on their baptism day with a silver spoon, and my family's what happens when you feed a baby with a silver spoon? Oh, she turns into Mallory. But she's cute and she's spoiled and she loves attention. She eats and she looks at you are you watching me eat? Pay attention to me. And when I was coming up here, I was thinking about my cousin and me decided to do stuff 4 years ago that we weren't supposed to be doing. And I remember being in the car before doing that and saying, this is going to change my whole life. I am not going to make it through college. And everything in my life that I want is going to totally change and I'm not going to achieve any of it. And have a conscious decision to know that my whole life is going to change doing this thing. And I did it anyway. And I got into AA and I was my whole life's going to change, they tell me, but I don't believe it. And, it's incredible, how it has changed. I lost all that stuff from the beginning, and I didn't get it all back. I lived with my mom, and I didn't go back to school, but, the way I feel, changed, I feel happy, and I have friends, and they don't, they make fun of me, but they don't make fun of me, they mean, the people I went to school with, and, I went from having everything handed to me and having a family that loves me and going to a nice school and getting everything I wanted and being 5 years old and wearing $500 dresses and being absolutely miserable with everything that I had as a kid, and getting a new toy every day and being miserable, to living with my mom in a tiny house and working 5 days a week waitressing and running around like a nut, and just everything on the outside doesn't look that great to most people my age because they're finished school, an apartment, and whatever. And I'm absolutely thrilled with the way my life is. And it's simple. I don't wake up thinking who I'm gonna rob. I wake up and give my daughter breakfast and go about my day. And I don't have to worry anymore or look over my shoulder. Things happen. I'm trying to get my license back slowly, and And one of the things is I have to get like a release form from jail, and I need to call my probation officer. And I said, well, I had no idea who my probation officer was because like I never call them really. I think once to be like, hi, I'm your probationee or whatever. So I was like, I don't know his name. Like, I don't know how to call this guy. And you know, the last time I had a piece of paperwork with his name was in Florida before I ended up in Miami. And I think it was Christmas Eve. I had on a sweatshirt that I bought in Philly. And my boyfriend like felt my size, and he's like, "What's this in your pocket?" And I was like, "I don't know. I didn't put anything in my pocket." And I reached in my pocket, and there is a piece of paper with like my probation officer's name on it. Like, where did that come from? Like just things like that like happen. Or like, you know, I didn't get a job because my credit sucks, and they were like, "You can't have a job." And you know, a friend calls me and she's like, "Oh, I got a job for you. Like on my birthday, you know, I get a job." And like that stuff didn't happen before. Like I thought like before my life, God was doing every bad thing he could do to get me. You know, it would just be like, "Why are you doing this to me, God?" But like just thought he was like, "Oh, you know, torture Mallory." And now, like, all this stuff happens, and, like, everything works out, and, like, you know, we're looking for, like, houses because, you know, it's getting tight living with my mom, and the first one has roaches, and the second one has ugly wood paneling, and my boyfriend's friend's like, "Oh, I'm getting married, and I'm moving out of my apartment," and he has, like, this beautiful apartment, and just, like, you know, all I'm doing is trying to show up and be helpful and, you know, like talk to God, and like all these things in my life are like just coming at me, and like all these blessings. And you know, the only thing I can say is, if you're, you know, sitting here and like someone told you hold on to your chairs, like don't do that, because all you're gonna get is like sore hands. But you know, find a sponsor and go through the steps the way they're laid out in the big book. And you know, like, when I first heard of AA in the steps, it was like, it's Jesus worshippers and their words on a piece of plastic. Like, they are not going to help me. Definitely didn't believe it. And, you know, my life is incredible. And, you know, the last thing I have to say is that one of my favorite writers, he wrote this quote that says, "Pray to God, but row away from the rocks." And, I never got it before. I was like, what does that mean? Like, pray to God and row away from the rocks. And basically what he's saying is, like, pray to God, you know, ask him for whatever it is that you feel like you need, but take the action. Like, I can pray to God all day long, but if I don't do something about it, things aren't going to change. And, you know, I ended up praying to God, taking the action, and my life is incredible. That's all I have.